Hello, it's the year 2024. It's me, Matt Stewart, and we've sold out all four of our Do Go Ons live at the Melbourne International Comedy Festival. But if you want to see me, you can do that. The show's called Dry Dryer, and we're at a new venue now. It's called The Grace Darling. Me and Sarenjaya Marnett, it's so much fun. The show's getting real good, I reckon. It's been heaps of fun, so we'd love to see you there. Use the discount code Do Go On for cheaper tickets. Also, we've now got the Do Go On quiz show. It's up online on the Stupid Old channel, so please check it out. Getting some lovely feedback so far. Please give it a watch, subscribe to the channel, maybe even comment on it, and, you know, feed those algorithm gods if you can. But love to see a Dry Dryer in Melbourne, Sydney and Brisbane. Check out the quiz show. Anyway, let's get on with this show.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
This podcast is part of the Planet Broadcasting Network.
Visit planetbcasting.com for more podcasts from our great mates.
Hello and welcome to another episode of Do Go On. My name is Dave Warnocky and I'm sitting in a hot room with Matt Stewart and Jess Perkins.
With a hot Matt and a hot Jess.
It's so hot.
It's hot.
It feels like only yesterday we were talking about how hot it is up here.
And people love it when we do this. They love it so much.
You talk about the temperature of a room you'll never go in last week.
I hope you never fucking go in this room. Stay out of our room.
Well, imagine how hot it would be if we had every single listener in here.
It's physically impossible, Dave. It's a small room, and there are hundreds of thousands of listeners.
Sorry, you mispronounced the word billions.
I beg your pardon. I'm being humble.
Hundreds of and thousands of billions.
Yes, thank you. Sorry. Sorry, not as good as maths. As Matt.
At Matt.
It's very hot in here.
Also very good at English.
So good at everything. You're our little golden boy.
All right, Sass Queen, Jess Perkins, it is your report, your turn to do a topic.
I didn't write a question. That's all right, I'll figure it out.
What are we, episode 109?
I know, I never do. Hang on, I'll just figure one out now, hang on.
We've been doing this for 2 years.
I know.
2 years.
Yeah, but do you want to change me?
You know, if you want to, yeah, I do. Okay, I definitely do. But if fair. While you're thinking of a question, love to say hello to Elliot, Ebony, Phoebe, Josh, and Zoe, who I met up in Canberra, our nation's capital.
Oh.
A bunch of listeners came up and said hello after the show, which was really nice.
That is so awesome.
And they definitely made me feel like we should go up there and do a live pod up there sometime, maybe. I should talk to you guys about that off the air. Jess, have you thought of a question?
Yes. Who is...
Okay.
One of
the
most successful British authors.
Charles Dickens.
Okay. Matt? It's not Charles Dickens.
Okay. Roald Dahl.
No, we've done him.
Roald Dahl.
We've done Roald Dahl.
Oscar Wilde.
No. More modern.
Shakespeare.
Mm-mm.
Is he an author
we've
of plays?
Also done him.
More modern. J.K. Rowling.
Yeah. Okay. J.K. Rowling.
That's amazing. So recently, you know, they've made that Great Mates group for podcasts in our world.
Maybe we should plug that just in case people aren't aware.
Okay, great.
So basically, if you're not aware, on Facebook, Levens, Planet Broadcasting, fellow legend. Well, fellow
legend.
Fellow Planet Broadcasting member. Slash
Dave just called himself legend. A legend.
But he also called us legends.
Ah, yeah, all right.
I'll take that.
Well, two out of three of us are legends, and you make me legend by association. Anyway, you make me legendary. He's created a private Facebook group, which I say private, but it just means you have to click join to get in there. And it's for all the Planet Broadcasting mates, so all the shows you can chat about that are on our network.
Yeah,
and
I think it's called Planet Broadcasting Great Mates or something.
Yeah, it's really cool. It's great. Anyway, there's a few thousand people in there already, so get on it if not.
Oh, right. Okay, I just remembered why we went on this weird tangent. It's because someone, people ask questions all the time there. It's just, it's my whole Facebook feed now is people's posts. But anyway, one of them was, if you had to drop one of these franchises, what would it be? Harry Potter, Lord of the Rings, Batman, Marvel Universe, Star Wars. And I'm like, oh, we've done a show on all of those apart from Harry Potter.
Wow.
That was this week.
And here we are.
That's crazy.
It is crazy.
And was Harry Potter the franchise that everyone voted to drop and therefore we shouldn't bother talking about?
People were saying Harry Potter a lot. I voted for Lord of the Rings. But I didn't. Maybe I didn't actually vote because I don't want to offend anyone.
Sure.
Certainly not in that world.
God,
no. There's some strongly held opinions and very friendly people in there.
That's true. This is a Golden Hat suggestion, and this is suggested by Rowan Epstein.
Ah, sweet. So these are almost like the death throes of the Golden Hat because we revamped it to make it a different thing, a monthly live video on, amongst a few other things, a vote
and
stuff.
This is on Patreon. But we told the people that were in the Golden Hat, the nine people that were in there, that they get to choose one final topic.
Yeah. And so he has chosen to do... Well, his suggestion was J.K. Rowling and Harry Potter.
Sick.
So my focus will be mostly on J.K. Rowling and obviously like her writing Harry Potter. But I figured it would be... Firstly, it would take a very long time and also be quite spoilerful if I were to then explain the plot of all seven books.
All right, quick spoiler warning. Harry Potter, a boy wizard.
Oh, my God, Matt.
I haven't read it.
I've got more to come.
Actually, that was one of my questions. Have you...
Has a pet owl called Hagrid.
Have you... have you guys read the books and / seen the films?
I've seen the films.
Not read the books?
I've seen the books.
Interesting. That doesn't answer the question. Dave.
Have read the books and seen a few of the films.
Right, okay, cool.
But, yeah, no, I think the films ruined it for me because the films started coming out and then when I went back to the books, I no longer used my imagination. I just imagined the actors.
Right.
And I hated that.
Yeah, I remember getting upset that Daniel Radcliffe had blue eyes. Harry Potter has green eyes.
Oh, that is disappointing.
That is
but
so
in
offensive.
My mind, he is Harry Potter.
Interesting.
But also, they were kids' books and they came out when I was quite an old man.
Yeah, but...
I assume.
That's no excuse.
Okay. Also, they were kids' movies and they came out when I was an even older man and I still watched them.
Yeah, true.
I thought they got increasingly good. Would that be fair?
Yeah, I'd probably agree.
Increasingly adult, maybe.
Yeah.
I've heard that, I'm sure.
Yeah, I think that's true.
Remember when that guy had no nose? Oh, man. That was messed up.
Who was that, Matt?
I will never say his name. It's Gerald. I think, is it?
Gerald
from Accounts.
You said it.
Fuck.
What's wrong with you?
I don't know. It's hot in here.
Jess will beep that name.
Thank you, Jess, please.
I will beep that. Okay, so, Joanne Rowling.
Spoilers.
Hang on, her name is not JK?
It's Joanne.
Oh, no wonder she goes JK.
Why? You don't like Joanne? God, you've got...
JK is cooler, right?
Okay. Yeah, I'm with you. I reckon...
It's just cooler.
I'm going to go out on a limb here.
With a K.
Yeah.
Also the name of the Jamiroquai singer.
Yeah, JK.
I think.
His name's JK.
Yeah, that's what everyone calls him. And he wears lots of hats and has lots of cars.
I get him.
He's my kind of guy.
Oh, yeah, he's my cosmic girl.
Yeah, he's my little L.
Okay, I've literally got two words into this report so far.
Well, let's talk a bit more about the back catalogue of one Jamiroquai.
I don't want to do that.
Okay.
I did not research the back catalogue of Jamiroquai. I could not possibly have known this tangent would happen.
You see the letters JK and you don't think of Jamiroquai,
absolutely
one of the greatest
not.
Funk acts of the 1990s.
No. The Cat in the Hat.
Oh, please stop.
I'm ready to be disappointed by this report.
This report is a new low.
Aren't you always ready to be disappointed when I start?
No, never.
Okay, well, that's Very sweet.
If
anyway.
Any new listeners, if we've got in any new listeners based on J.K. Rowling.
Rowling.
Or any listeners based on people that like Jamiroquai and have mistaken J.K. for J.K.
They've
Rowling.
Both definitely turned off now.
And now we can begin. Great. So now
you, now that all those losers have gone.
That was a real test and you passed it, guys.
Well done.
Well done, you legends.
Either that or you've dropped your iPod and you can't find it.
And it keeps playing on speaker.
Yeah. Oh, fuck, turn
and
it off.
And you're at a funeral.
Oh, no.
It's really embarrassing.
Oh, this is awful. Sorry, Grandma.
Yeah, R.I.P. Oh. Anyway, Joanne was born on the 31st of July, 1965, in Yate, Gloucestershire.
Gloucester? No, Gloucestershire, great. Sorry. Fuck.
But you interrupted to tell her that she'd said it right.
She's 10 miles or 16 kilometres northeast of Bristol. Her parents were Peter James Rowling, who was a Rolls-Royce aircraft engineer.
Wow, that sounds cool.
That's pretty cool. And Anne Rowling, who was a science technician.
That also, sounds cool.
Also pretty cool. Her sister Diane was born at their family home when Joanne was 23 months old. Matt just flicked his phone off the table and caught it with his foot. That was one of the coolest things you've ever done.
You are so cool.
You are so cool.
Yeah.
Also,
can't deny it now.
No feet on the table.
Sorry, sir. Don't know why I said so. It's so hot. I'm not doing well.
Yeah, not doing well. Her sister Diane is just shy of 2 years younger than her. The family moved to a nearby village of Winterbourne when Rowling was four. As a child, she often wrote fantasy stories, which she frequently read to her sister. And age
Diane was like, please stop.
Please stop. These stories are childish. Mm-hmm. When she was nine, they moved to Church Cottage in the village of Tutshill. That's a bit cute.
How would you say that, Matt? How would you mispronounce Tutshill?
Church College.
Nice. It sounds beautiful.
It does sound Tutshill.
Cottage, but okay.
Church Cottage. That sounds like a made-up place, right? Where you go? Like, that's them leaving someone they don't want to follow, an old boyfriend.
Oh, I'm just going to Church Cottage in Tutshill, near Chepstow.
So you just trailed off there a little?
Did I?
Yeah, right, sorry, so I've just got my pen out now. If you want to give me that address again.
It's just Cottage.
Okay, it's Tutshill.
Just okay. Close to Wales.
Okay, close to Wales. That should make it a lot easier.
Narrows it down. She attended secondary school at the Wydeen School and College, where her mother worked in the science department. And Rowling said that her teenage years were quite unhappy. Her home life was complicated by her mother's illness. Her mum had multiple sclerosis and a strained relationship with her father, with whom she is not on speaking terms still. So even as a teenager, they were not besties. When she was a young teenager, her great aunt gave her a copy of Huns and Rebels, which is an autobiography by political activist Jessica Mitford, which describes her aristocratic childhood and the conflicts between her and her sisters, whose names were Unity and Diana. I mean, how do you name them Jessica, Diana, and then Unity?
Yeah.
They don't go.
That was some sort of a mushroom trip, I reckon, that last one.
Well, her sisters, Unity and Diana, were ardent supporters of Nazism, and Jessica was a supporter of communism and eloped with her cousin to fight with the Loyalists in the Spanish Civil War. Diana grew up to marry Sir Oswald Mosley, the leader of the British Union of Fascists, and Unity befriended Hitler.
What the fuck?
Who praised her as an ideal of Aryan beauty.
Wait, who are these people again?
So, when...
JK's... A book about them.
JK Rowling's been given a book.
Oh, okay. I missed a bit. I thought they were siblings or something. How old is JK, for starters?
No, this is
what is going on here?
This is an autobiography written by Jessica Mitford.
I did hear you say that.
This story makes Harry Potter seem very tame and believable.
I'm also just remembering how much J.K. Rowling's a legend, right? She's really cool, right?
She's very cool.
Yes.
And so this writer, Jessica Mitford, became Rowling's heroine. She absolutely loved her. She read all
her drug of choice.
She read all of her books. In an interview in 2002, J.K. Rowling said, "My most influential writer, without a doubt, is Jessica Mitford. When my great aunt gave me Huns and Rebels when I was 14, she instantly became my hero. She ran away from home to fight in the Spanish Civil War, taking with her a camera that she'd charged to her father's account. I wish I'd had the nerve to do something like that. I love the way she never outgrew some of her adolescent traits, remaining true to her politics throughout her life. I think I've read everything that she wrote. I even called my daughter Jessica Rowling Arantes after her. So she was a really big influence of J.K. Rowling, which is really nice. Also, her name's Jessica, so she must be a fucking stone-cold fox. Any arguments, boys?
I'm pretty keen on unity.
Interesting. Well, Hitler said unity was a real babe.
Oh, God. I've really painted myself into a corner here.
He said she was the ideal of Aryan beauty. So, yeah, sounds like unity was a real fox. Good call.
Sounds like the name of, like, a gladiator from the old 90s TV show.
Let's hear it for unity! In 1982, Rowling took the entrance exam for Oxford University, but she wasn't accepted, and instead she got into a BA in French and Classics at the University of Exeter.
Been to Exeter?
Have you?
That's in down in the southwest, I believe.
Was there a pub down there?
Yeah, Exeter. I remember a big cathedral.
What's Did you go into the
Devon.
Cathedral?
It's in
or
Devon.
Did you just go to the pub?
Devonshire. I went to, I walked past the cathedral on the way to the pub.
There we go.
I had a great night out next to her.
I bet you did. Wrong.
Were they playing NFL? American football?
Yeah. Hockey? No, ice hockey?
I went to see a soccer game near there in Yeovil, just over the border.
Yeovil.
At home in Yeovil playing Portsmouth. It was a pre-season game. It was sick.
I want to live so in good. Yeovil.
Yeovil was rad. They wore green and white hoops. Then still my favourite fourth division professional soccer team in England.
You have a team in every league in the whole world.
Yes.
It's amazing.
I'm trying to.
It's actually incredible.
Fourth division. Who's your seventh division team?
Seventh division? That'd be the Cockle Schmaltzers. Oh, yeah. The improv gene's still strong.
Gave him a low five for that one.
Really should have said that town you said before. That would have been very funny.
You should have said Daesh. Anyway, Martin Sorrell, who was a French professor at the university, remembers a quietly competent student with a denim jacket and dark hair who, in academic terms, gave the appearance of doing what was necessary. The Jess Perkins approach. That's how I passed university.
To me, it sounds like she killed when needed.
Oh.
I will do anything necessary. Yeah. I will pass by any means necessary.
Yeah, okay, I didn't quite read that, but I think you're right.
So that's not
She's saying that as she's
murdering,
shiving her teacher in the back. I said if you didn't give me a pass, Mr. Dickface.
Mr. Dickface.
Which was a weird name, but I think she used it in,
it was French.
In a later Harry Potter book.
It's Defarge. Defarge. Okay? Come on, mate.
Professor Defarge.
G'day, Dickface.
I get this every day, every year on day one.
Change your name then. Change your name. If your name was Dickface, you'd change it. Yeah, but it's Dickface, isn't it? Written down, it's Dickface.
They never pronounce things.
Why am I so mad at a fictional character?
Defarge.
But I'm really mad at him for that.
That's what JK does. She paints characters that he makes it, you believe they're real.
Her character development.
Hagrid the owl. Hagrid the owl.
Hagrid's not the owl.
Defarge the talking carrot.
Defarge.
Why is he a carrot?
I don't know. There's a lot of
It's a magic land.
Yes. You're right.
Open your eyes and mind.
Hey, okay. I don't know if you're going to get across this, but at one point, there's in the films, and I'm starting to think it might be Hagrid, but he's like a half giant, half human.
That's Hagrid.
Okay, great.
The owl's name
got
is
an
Hedwig.
Owl. Okay, great. I was going to say, it would be confusing if they had an owl and a half giant, half human, both named Hagrid.
They're not.
Okay. Well, agree to disagree.
No. That's correct.
Okay, Jess. Anyway, so, and then they later in the movie showed what a giant looks like, right? Which is huge.
Correct.
Like, you'd step so, where to believe that Hagrid's mum or dad was a human who fucked a giant who, like, he would fit.
His mother was a giant.
My God. So how did, so the dad must have crawled up inside the mum and jizzed.
No, he used.
Right, how did it happen?
He used a cup.
And threw it inside?
He's good.
Did he have a very good arm?
Yes.
Like, have you thought about the mechanics of that? Has that ever been brought up before? I remember watching that going, I've got so many questions.
Turkey baster.
Right.
But real big.
A dragon turkey baster.
He had to do a few cums. But then there was enough she got a giant sized turkey baster, and
that's like a domestic cat herself. Impregnating a lion.
Yeah, it's like that. Any further questions?
No, it all makes sense now.
You're glad you brought this up?
No.
It's like a domestic cat impregnating a blue whale.
I'm talking about J.K. Rowling, and now you're talking about a man trying to fuck a giant.
No, she talked about that.
Yeah.
No, she didn't talk about that.
And she should have.
No.
She implied it, didn't she?
No, it's a children's series.
Well, I mean, that's not appropriate, is it, J.K.?
Why not?
You're very slippery. Right now, Jess.
Because all of the characters in the book would have come from two people who had fucked.
Yes, but only...
She didn't go into the origins of every character and their parents' sexual experience.
Not at all.
Into how they were conceived.
No.
That is very strange.
They're long books, but they're not that long.
I think that's
what
lazy.
What else did she leave out?
That's lazy. You got to paint a real backstory for me to believe the character exists.
So you need to hear about the
sex. I need to hear how they were conceived.
Oh.
Yeah.
Thank you.
I hate this.
I mean, they did it with other children's books. Such Remember as? Spot?
Yeah, we all know where Spot came from.
Where?
What happened with Spot?
Doggy style.
Seriously, you're not going to do a regret face after that. You don't regret that one at all.
It's too hot to regret.
I don't think that's a thing. Can I go on?
Please go on.
Fuck. So, she was a competent student. She recalls doing very little work, preferring to listen to the Smiths and read Dickens and Tolkien.
All right, now she's talking my language.
She cool. After a year of study in Paris, she graduated from uni in 1986 and moved to London to work as a researcher and bilingual secretary for Amnesty International. After working at Amnesty International in London, she and her then-boyfriend decided to move to Manchester, where she worked at the Chamber of Commerce. In 1990, while she was on a four-hour delayed train trip from Manchester to London, the idea for a story of a young boy attending a school of wizardry came fully formed into her mind. And as soon as she got home that afternoon, she started writing. So that was in early 1990. In December of 1990, her mother Anne died after 10 years suffering from multiple sclerosis. Rowling was writing Harry Potter at the time and had never told her mother about it. Her mother's death heavily affected Rowling's writing, and she channeled her own feelings of loss by writing about Harry's feelings of loss in greater detail in the first book. I saw an interview with her, and she was like, "That was one of my biggest regrets, is that I didn't, like, tell Mum about the book that I was writing. Because, like, look what it went on to become."
Yeah.
Isn't that crazy?
Yeah.
That your mum would never, obviously your parents want the best for you, but you never in your wildest dreams imagine that you would become the wealthiest author on the planet.
Yeah.
She was seeing it as a secret shame almost.
Maybe. Or just like a little side project. Just a little hobby. Like, I don't tell my parents about the podcast.
Yeah, but that's because they listen. Because
they listen. You don't have to.
Don't have to. They're very supportive. They're great people.
Hey, John.
Hey, Annie.
God. They'll get a real kick out of that.
Will they? Do they still listen?
I don't know.
Do they get through all that bullshit that we've just done?
No, they listen.
Sorry about the turkey baster.
Yeah, come on. Anyway, and them doing it is why I exist.
Oh, let's talk about your origin story.
I don't want
to. I need to know.
I don't know.
To understand how you exist.
I don't want to know.
Well, when a Johnny loves an
Annie. Oh, fuck off.
You definitely brought that up.
I know, but I was hoping it would end. Anyway, moving on, an advertisement in The Guardian led Rowling to move to Portugal to teach English as a foreign language. She taught at night and began writing in the day while listening to Tchaikovsky's Violin Concerto. That's how I like to write. Bit of Tchaikovsky in the background, am I right?
I love a good concert.
Love it.
I imagine that you read that, then put the music on and wrote the rest of the report to the music.
Obviously.
Obviously, pardon me.
After 18 months in Portugal, she met a Portuguese television journalist whose name was Jorge Arantes in a bar, and they found that they shared an interest in Jane Austen. They married on 16th of October 1992, and their child Jessica, named after Jessica Mitford, was born on the 27th of July 1993 in Portugal.
They work fast, right? So when did they meet?
Married in October, had their daughter
in July.
But
when did they meet before the...
I'm not sure.
Sorry.
I find an interest in Jane Austen is probably not enough.
To marry and have a kid within
weeks. There's no aphrodisiac like Jane Austen.
Oh, yeah. Oh, Mr. Darcy.
No need for a turkey baster. I'm jizzing at a distance.
Okay.
Like high pressure jizz.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
No regret face for that one. It's too hot to regret, isn't it?
Too hot to regret. I get it now. Yeah. Dave?
I'm waiting for my lack of regret.
Today's the day. The couple separated 4 months later in November of 1993.
Ha! Told you that Jane Austen wasn't enough to base the entire relationship on.
And then the next month in December, Rowling and her then infant daughter moved to Edinburgh to be near Rowling's sister Diane. And they had not very much with them, but she did have 3 chapters of what would become Harry Potter in her suitcase. So 7 years after graduating from university, she saw herself as a failure. Her marriage had failed, she was jobless, she had a dependent child. But she described her failure as liberating and allowing her to focus on writing. Although during this period, she was diagnosed with clinical depression and contemplated suicide. So she's saying that it was very liberating, but also she was clinically depressed, which
sounds like there's peaks and troughs.
Yeah, and I suppose that's quite true. Her illness actually inspired the characters known as Dementors, which are soul-sucking creatures introduced in the third book. So she kind of based them off depression, which when you think about it, you're like, yeah.
That makes sense.
That works. She signed up for welfare benefits, describing her economic status as being as poor as it's possible to be in modern Britain without being homeless. So things were pretty tight for her for a long time. Her husband turned up in Edinburgh, much to her horror, and she filed a restraining order against him. And so he returned back to Portugal, and then she filed for divorce the following August, which was 1994. She began a teacher training course in August of 1995 at the Moray House School of Education, which is at Edinburgh Uni, after completing her first novel while living on state benefits. She wrote in many cafes, especially Nicholson's Cafe, which was owned by her brother-in-law, and the Elephant House, whenever and wherever she could get Jessica to fall asleep. In a 2001 interview, she denied the rumour that she wrote in local cafes to escape from her unheated flat. People were like...
Oh, right, because I've heard that.
Have you? Yeah, she was like, no, it had heating, but...
Well, I thought it was like she couldn't afford the heating, so she had to go to a cafe. Obviously, that romanticises the story a bit.
I suppose, yeah, but she said the reasons that she wrote in cafe was that taking the baby out for a walk was the best way to get her to fall asleep. So she would do that, and then while the bub was sleeping, she would sit and write. Which kind of works.
That sounds like a stressful way to write a book.
Mm.
Like bits at a time.
Yeah.
Not knocking out a solid 6 hours here. It's like, all right, 15 minutes, the baby's awake.
Yeah, I guess so.
Take a while.
But hey.
That explains why in the book every third or fourth page is a crying baby. Because that did seem a little weird.
It was weird that they adapted that into the film too.
Yeah, it was.
Every few minutes.
Yeah.
It'd be a crying baby.
Well, they've got to be true to the text.
You're right.
It's true.
You're right.
Fans would have been furious otherwise.
Furious.
But where was the crying baby?
In 1995, Rowling finished her manuscript for Harry Potter and the Philosopher's Stone on an old manual typewriter.
So this whole time she'd been on a typewriter or just the last bit?
I don't know. I suppose I thought she was writing like in notebooks and stuff, but I assume you'd be sort of like writing down notes and then transcribing that into... She wrote it on a typewriter.
This is sort of the early to mid-90s.
Well, computers were pretty... That's 95, yeah.
Yeah. I think there wouldn't have been laptops then, I don't think.
Mm.
Oh, there'd be big ones, but she's also very poor. So yeah, I think they would have cost thousands.
Yeah, they were very expensive and not all that accessible. So, and the Fulham-based Christopher Little Literary Agents agreed to represent Rowling in her quest for a publisher. The book was submitted to how many publishing houses, do you want to guess?
Oh.
I'd love it to be one and just no one has regrets.
They all rejected her, so there's more than one.
It's something in the 20s, maybe? 27.
Lower.
12.
Correct!
Yes.
How did you get 12?
Dirty dozen, baby.
How did you do that? Did you look at my laptop?
No, I just...
Matt, did you look at my typewriter?
I can hardly see through the delirium, let alone...
Why? Why are you a bit delirious?
It's very hot in here.
Oh, is it?
Have we mentioned that?
Sorry.
I was going to say I'm cool as a cucumber, but I started. I'm so hot I can't
I'm
speak.
I'm melting. So yeah, they submitted it to 12 publishing houses and all of them rejected the manuscript. A year later, she was finally given the green light and a £1,500 advance by editor Barry Cunningham from Bloomsbury.
God, I hope he gets rich.
Which is a publishing house. The decision to publish Rowling's book owes much to Alice Newton, the 8-year-old daughter of Bloomsbury's chairman, who was given the first chapter to review by her father and immediately demanded the next.
Oh, that's great.
That is good.
So they're like, we're on to a winner.
Reminds me of that scene of The Simpsons with Kent Brockman and his daughter. And she's like, that's boring. Do a story about my Dali, the new Malibu Stacy thing. And he goes, yeah. Well, you were right about the Berlin Wall.
And although Bloomsbury agreed to publish the book, Cunningham said that he advised Rowling to get a day job, since she had very little chance of making money in children's books. He's like, yeah, we'll publish it, but Jay, just a little FYI, I'd probably get a day job. Okay. Which is pretty funny now. Soon after, in 1997, Rowling received an £8,000 grant from the Scottish Arts Council to enable her to continue writing. So,
to finish off this first one?
No, to continue, I think, with the rest of the series, because they'd already agreed to publish, their publisher had already agreed to publish the first book. In June of 1997, Bloomsbury published Philosopher's Stone with an initial print run of 1,000 copies, 500 of which were distributed to libraries.
Oh, imagine a first edition of that.
Yeah.
How much do you think that might be worth now?
Ooh.
£10,000?
£2,000? More.
Really? 20?
Between 16 and 25,000. Those copies.
Poons.
Bloody hell. So that's what, like double?
My blooming aunt.
That's crazy.
Which I believe is a phrase in England. Might not be. Blooming aunt.
I reckon it probably is. So it was published in June, and 5 months later the book won its first award, which was a Nestle Smarties Book Prize.
That sounds like a colouring competition.
It does, doesn't it?
She submitted in every comp available.
Yeah. They were like, well, we assume this was written by a 7-year-old, so congratulations.
And it's very good.
It's all between the lines.
Can't believe you kept the words in between the lines for 400 pages.
Very impressive.
The following February, the novel won the British Book Award for Children's Book of the Year and later the Children's Book Award. In early 1998, an auction was held in the United States for the rights to publish the novel and was won by Scholastic for US $105,000.
Getting better.
So she's starting to make some cash.
Things are looking up.
Cash money.
I really hope it works out for her.
She said that she nearly died when she heard the news that Scholastic...
Oh, fucking hell, imagine that.
Yeah.
The timing.
It's such a rags to riches, you know?
And then she almost died when the money was starting to come in.
They shipped it in by the truckload and she was nearly buried alive.
Mm. Jesus.
It's weird that she asked to be paid in cash.
It's harrowing.
In coins. It was really silly.
Not all at once! They're just backing up. Beep, beep. No! Oh, this is so bittersweet. She chokes on coins. I love money.
So in October of 1998, Scholastic published Philosopher's Stone with the US title of Harry Potter and the Sorcerer's Stone. I don't know why there was that much change, but she now regrets that change and would have fought a bit harder for it not to be changed.
So their movies and everything are called the Sorcerer's Stone?
Oh, I'm actually not sure. It was Philosophers here.
Mm. Yeah, I've never heard Sorcerer's Stone.
I just remember that, like, suddenly 30 was 13 going on 30 in America. I had a...
13 going on 30, right. Is it, like, I don't want to be rude, but do things need to be spelled out a bit more to Americans?
What's a philosopher? Sorcerer? I love it.
Because sorcerer, like, would be a more obscure occupation, I would have thought.
Yeah, philosopher.
So maybe they needed a bit more obscure in
Harry
America.
Potter and the Magic Land of Magic. Ooh, this sounds fantastic.
Harry...
Yeah?
Goes to a school.
Slow down.
Oh, no.
You've lost me again.
So many of our listeners are American, and we love you all so much.
Guys, you're the good ones.
You big dummies.
You know what philosophers are, not like the rest of your country.
Maybe you'd be like Harry Potter and the Philosopher's Stone, reading that, you're not thinking magic. Whereas Sorcerer's Stone, you're thinking...
It does say magic.
That's a magic. That says magic. Magic. I reckon that would have been what someone said in a meeting one time.
They probably
Philosopher's Stone doesn't say magic. Sorcerer's Stone, that says magic.
Then call it...
Sparkle fingers. Magic hands. Magic hands, yeah.
So but they probably would have done like some sort of focus group or something on this.
Yeah.
Yeah,
Focus group.
Yeah. And at the end, they were like, why don't you just call it the Hocus Focus group? And they nearly did. Harry Potter and the Hocus Focus group. I reckon it would have been a hit.
Focus Pocus would have been better. Sorry about that, everybody. You know, you make those split-second decisions, and, you know, you live the rest of the podcast with regret.
Hocus Pocus Focus.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads, generally, for most people, are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
This podcast is brought to you by Squarespace, the all-in-one website platform for entrepreneurs to stand out and succeed online. Whether it's your first ever website or your business is expanding, Squarespace makes it easy to create a beautiful website and engage with your audience.
Jess, before you jump in, Dave, can you say entrepreneurs again? It sounded so good.
Entrepreneurs.
Oh my God.
God, he's good.
Jeez.
If it feels a bit overwhelming to start your own website, don't worry. You can get help with written content on your website with Squarespace AI. Generating instant, personalized results that know and show your brand identity. You explain what your site's about, you choose your tone, you enter what you need, and you get short and long form text. How cool is that?
Oh my God, can Squarespace just do my life?
It would be good if it could do my taxes.
Hey, you can easily manage your clients and invoices. Two things that I definitely have, from vetting leads to receiving payment via invoices in one streamlined and customizable workflow.
Sorry, Matt, can you pronounce streamlined for me again?
Streamlined.
Beautiful.
Was that closer?
Yeah, in that it was the word.
Okay.
And not streamlined. You can also sell exclusive content on your site by adding a paywall to sell membership or courses, or you can sell files that your customers can download, like PDFs, music, ebooks.
Right, Jess, can I just get you to say the word courses again?
Courses.
Nailed it. Head to squarespace.com/dogoon for a free trial and to save 10% off your first purchase of a website or domain. That's squarespace.com/dogoon.
Oh my God.
So, first book's out. It's out in America. Oh my God. Its sequel, Harry Potter and the Chamber of Secrets, was first published in July of 1998. And again, Rowling won the Smarties Prize. 2 years running, baby.
Has that ever been done?
Oh, she goes one further.
Can I just ask, what do they call it in America?
M&Ms.
The Chamber of M&Ms.
Oh, the book. Still the Chamber of Secrets.
They called it the Chamber. They didn't call it like the Cave of... Whispers.
The Cave of Shh. Shusha. The Cave of Shushes.
I think Chamber of Secrets was pretty idiot proof.
I don't know.
In America, chamber means part of your gun.
Ah. There's chamber lots of secrets in there.
Harry Potter and the Gun Chamber of Secrets.
Shh.
Yeah, just someone whispering into their gun.
Shushing the smoke away. Ah, good on you. I love guns too. I love America.
Pew, pew. In December of 99, the third novel, Harry Potter and the Prisoner of Azkaban, won the Smarties Prize.
What? Three in a row?
That made her the first person to win the award 3 times running. This is so good. She later withdrew the fourth Harry Potter novel from contention to allow other books a fair chance.
That is good.
To allow other 6-year-olds to win the colouring competition. Yeah, good on you, JK.
That is so good. So in January of 2000...
That is... extremely nice, but also extremely arrogant at the same time, because you just assume you're going to win.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, this is definitely going to win, so I'll withdraw that to give you a shot.
Well, I just think that's sharing the love.
Sharing the love.
Mm-hmm. You know?
Okay, well, I'm going to withdraw this podcast from the upcoming Academy Award nominations.
No, Dave.
Because...
Dave, no.
I'd like to give everyone else a shot.
David, no.
No, Dave.
We need that publicity.
You want that?
Yes.
We need that golden Academy Award.
We need it.
Okay.
I'm sick of seeing all of Auntie Donna's awards in their office.
They've got so many.
They've got so many awards, all these plaques.
They don't have any Oscars.
Not a single Oscar.
They do have.
It's embarrassing, actually.
A signed, framed photo of me in their office.
Oh.
Which I put there.
We don't have that in our office.
Yeah.
What, or we don't have an office.
We don't have an office.
I believe it used to be called the EGOT, now it's the GGOT.
Because you get a...
You get the Emmy, the Grammy, the Oscar, the Tony. You get the signed photo of Jess.
Yeah.
Something you've got.
Yeah.
Zero or five.
So the J is pronounced G.
Yep. Matt, it's show business. Don't question it.
Yeah, come on, man.
Sorry, I felt dumb as soon as I questioned show business.
Anyway, the fourth book, Harry Potter and the Goblet of Fire, was released simultaneously in the UK and the US.
Harry Potter and the Big Cup of Flame.
The Flamey Cup. Yeah.
Flamey Cup.
Flamey Cup Cup.
In brackets, do not drink from the cup.
It was released in the UK and the US on the 8th of July and broke sales records in both countries. 372,775 copies of the book were sold in the first day in the UK.
That is so many.
Almost equaling the number Prisoner of Azkaban sold during its first year, which was the book before it. Wow. So it's building.
Oh, shit.
And in the US, the book sold 3 million copies in its first 48 hours.
3 million?
So that was in the times where people were lining up. I vaguely remember that.
Yeah.
It was on the news, people lining up for the bookshop to open. It's such a... I always loved the lineup to get something that you could walk in and get the next day.
Yeah, it's crazy, isn't it?
Yeah.
But with a book or something, that makes sense because you don't want spoilers or something. But what about a phone? You don't get phone spoilers.
Yeah, true.
It's ridiculous. Yeah, get a fucking life.
Or you get a bugs get fixed in the early months.
Exactly. They work out... The first people get their credit card details stolen and then the second people don't. And I want that experience. I would love to have my credit card details stolen. Just putting it out there.
All right, Dave, give us your credit card number.
I know a pretty easy way for that to happen.
Well, I want to make them work for it.
Yeah, great.
Rowling was named Author of the Year in the 2000 British Book Awards. Author of the Year.
How many Smarties did she win?
A lifetime amount.
So it's like, please stop submitting your books.
Yeah.
Just have all the Smarties you want, which are like... M&M's for anyone out there.
Yeah, but I don't like Smarties. So all the Smarties you want would be like one of those little tiny packets and I'd probably give it to a friend.
That for you, that's a lifetime supply.
Do either of you like Smarties?
Yeah.
Okay, then I'd give them to you.
I used to, I mean, they're thinner, but I think M&M's are better.
M&M's are better.
More chocolate in them.
I'm definitely on team M&M.
Yeah.
Nah, Smarties can fuck off.
But I'll eat them.
Nah, I won't. If you said, do you want a Smartie? I'd go, nah.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Skittles, on the other hand, holy shit, get them
taste
in
the
me.
Taste the rainbow.
Get them in
fruit
me.
Flavor.
My mum won't let me have them still.
Why?
I get real hyped.
Oh, that's awesome. Let's get her a pack.
Orange, lemon, lime, mix them in. You create a new flavor.
What's it called?
That was an old Skittles ad where you go, you can make up any flavors, and they're putting different varieties in their mouth.
That is fun.
Orange, lemon, lime. They called it like they made portmanteaus of the words.
They didn't even give it a new name.
No. I would have called mine Greg.
Taste
Gary.
The
who am I kidding?
Yeah, I would have been Gary.
Taste the Greg.
I don't want to taste the Greg.
Taste Greg.
Get out of my mouth, Greg.
Ew. Why is Greg in there?
Stop it, Greg.
I'm just imagining a guy with his hand in your mouth.
Yeah. Get out of my mouth, Greg. Yeah.
Taste my green finger.
Oh, Greg. God, damn.
I mean, it does taste nice. Like all the citrusy goodness, but...
Still, get that checked. A wait of 3 years occurred between the release of Goblet of Fire and the fifth Harry Potter novel, Harry Potter and the Order of the Phoenix.
People must have...
3 years.
Not known what to do. You've lined up on day one, read it in a day, and now you have to fucking wait 3 years.
That's a long time. But Dave, do you want to give it an American name? Order of the Phoenix?
Order of the Flame Bird. No, just Flame Bird.
Yeah, it would have been Chicken and Chips, Please.
Order. Yep, I get it.
Chicken is a different kind of bird.
What about...
I threw chips in there as a bonus.
Group of the Fire Chicken.
Yeah, Group of the Fire Chicken.
Fire Chicken.
We all belong to the Fire Chicken.
We are the Fire Chicken. It's a cult. This gap led to press speculation that Rowling had developed writer's block, speculation that she denied. She said that writing the book was a chore, that it could have been shorter, and that she ran out of time and energy as she tried to finish it.
Oh, so she's not happy with that one?
Yeah, maybe, yeah.
Is that same... Do you have a general idea of how they were received overall? Like, is there a... one that's known as the classic or anything like that?
For me, number five, the start is very boring.
Okay.
It is.
It's just a lot of them hiding out in a thing, and they just, like, it's just 250 or 300 pages of not much happening.
Which one was your favourite?
Number three.
Me too!
That's really good. The Prisoner of Azkaban.
Yeah, Sirius Black.
Yeah, he's really cool.
He's so cool.
I like that movie, cool. I think.
And which Lupin? Love Lupin.
Yeah, the Wolfman?
Yes.
Great. Because Anyway. But also, it's got Jobby in as well. Is that one? Jobby.
Billy Connell is Jobby.
Jobby. Wee Jobby.
I was about to correct you to Gobby, and I thought I was not being funny.
Dobby.
You mean Gobby. I was going to say that.
Gobby. Gobby?
No, it's
Dobby.
Dobby. Yeah, that was heartbreaking. Spoilers. Potentially.
That was number five.
Oh, that was five. Oh.
Is that five?
But he came about.
That might have been six.
Anyway, this doesn't matter.
I know, I find him irritating. In the films especially. Oh. Just sort of want to kick him into a cave and seal the door. That's my thoughts on Dobby.
That is going to have some unpopular...
People like him.
Yes, people love Dobby.
I thought he was the Jar Jar Binks of Harry Potter. Really? I'm so sorry.
I'm so Dobby.
Anyone who feels offended, I will personally give a copy to...
Oh my God. David, stop talking.
That is an overpromise.
I'm going to keep going. The sixth book, which is Harry Potter and the Half-Blood Prince. Dave?
Harry Potter and my dead shit brother.
It was released in July of 2005. It too broke all sales records. It sold 9 million copies in its first 24 hours. In 2006...
Sorry, I zoned out. How many the number? Say again.
9 million in the first 24 hours.
That's fucked up.
Harry Potter and the Anemic Vice President.
Half-blood prince, you went to vice president.
That's Americanizing.
Because he's not quite the king.
Yeah.
Like, I get it.
Oh, you know.
I follow your logic there. Good job.
So was it year by year for the first four, then a three-year gap?
Yep.
Yeah, so that makes sense of people be like, what the fuck's
going
on?
And also, they start getting way thicker too.
Right.
They're huge.
But the first three are quite thin.
I wonder if she considered just splitting them up then in the later ones.
They would have just gone forever.
Yeah.
Like, that series would have been, like, 10 books long.
And her publisher would have been like, that is awesome.
Yeah.
Please, can we do that?
True. And people would have lapped it up, for sure.
And what, have the movies started by this stage? When did the movie, because there were still books coming out while movies started,
yeah, that's right.
Yeah,
right. Yep. So the first movie came out in 2001. I'll talk about the movies in a sec as well.
And what, and when, so where were the books out in 2001?
Good question. The...
I was just wondering if that three-year gap, she was spending any time thinking about the movie, like getting that developed or anything as well.
By the time the first movie came out, I think the first four books were done.
Right. Yeah, right.
And then there was that gap.
So that totally makes sense. She was probably thinking about the movie a bit.
Maybe. I can't speculate on what she was thinking at the time, to be honest.
That is a very good point.
But I also can't prove you wrong, so yes.
So definitely I'm right.
Let's make the assumption that you're right.
I like that rule.
The title of the seventh and final Harry Potter book was announced on the 21st of December 2006 as Harry Potter and the Deathly Hallows.
Right. Scary Forest. Harry Potter and the Scary Forest. Ooh, so scary.
Ooh, no.
That's good. So Hallows is like a forest.
Like, I don't even... What's that in reference to?
I only remember... The only other place I remember it is that movie Shallow Hallows. No, that's not right.
Shallow Hell? Jack Black film?
No, what am I thinking of? The one with Johnny Depp in it. Which is that's the one where he's got a headless horseman? And that's a Hallows?
Johnny Depp and the Headless Horseman?
The Deathly Hallows. Is there a movie called The Deathly
Hallows? Yeah, the Harry Potter and the Deathly Hallows.
Okay.
Hallows.
We're back to where we started. Aren't we?
Yeah, to hallow is to make holy or sacred. I like Scary Forest. I'm just going to stick with that.
Yeah, Scary Forest is great. And in the context, it works.
Americans will love it. Trust me. I'm going to re-release all the books. We won't tell them that they're not new books, and I still think we'll sell a few million before they catch on.
This is a fun little fact. In February of 2007, it was reported that Rowling wrote on a bust in her hotel room at the Balmoral Hotel in Edinburgh that she had finished the seventh book in that room on the 11th of January 2007.
Wow. She wrote that on a
She wrote it on a bust in the hotel room. That's kind of cool. Like, J.K. Rowling like finished her book here.
That's very cool.
Mm. Harry Potter and the Deathly Hallows was released on the 21st of July and broke its predecessor's records as the fastest-selling book of all time.
That's because it's the final one and people wanted to find out what happened before anyone
wrote it. Exactly.
I remember my girlfriend at the time was one of those people that lined up to get it. And
you dumped her shortly
after. I went out that night. I went out that night to see a band play, and she was like, "I can't come. I've got to finish this."
Wow. She read it in one day.
Yeah, and I judged her for that.
It was a big book.
Yeah,
but people really set aside some time.
Yeah, I think I don't know if I love or hate that behavior. I can't. I'm not quite sure.
Well, I feel like you'd do it for something else. If not a Harry Potter series, maybe you would do it for something else.
Just.
Well, with the final Poirot episode, that was out for many months before I watched it because I didn't want it to be over.
Oh, that's so cute.
I wanted to savour it.
I bet you did.
Oh, yeah. Cutie it's pants. Called Curtain, and it is a dramatic finale, can I just say.
Oh, don't give spoilers. Anything away. Yeah, I remember last time you got crucified for...
I bet they'd
for...
buy some curtains. Knew it.
I bet the curtains did it. Is that it, Dave?
I can't confirm... Oh, my God, you've got it. This ruined everything.
The curtains did it. So yeah, the book sold 11 million copies on its first day of release in the United Kingdom and the United States. The book's last chapter was one of the earliest things she wrote in the entire series. So she knew how it was going to end from the beginning.
That's very cool.
Right.
So a lot of the other stuff in the middle she maybe sort of worked out as she went, but she had a pretty good idea of where it was going.
Yeah.
Which is
pretty
cool.
For quite a while, the owl's name was Hagrid.
Yeah. Quite some time.
But by the end, you knew it wasn't going to be called Hagrid.
Yeah, because it was going to be confusing, because the big guy was also named that.
Do you remember the final chapter? It was the flash forward.
Yes, it's when, I don't know, are we allowed to say this?
Yeah,
spoilers.
I guess
it's been out for 10 years.
Spoilers. Yeah, true. If you don't want to know this, flip forward a couple of minutes.
It's when Harry and his little gang are taking their kids to the station to drop them off to Hogwarts for the first time.
Yeah, so it's sort of like, I think it's 10 or something years later.
So it's like the next generation.
No, because it must be much longer
they
than
call
10
it Harry
years
Potter
later.
The next generation.
Wow.
Next gen. Degrassi Junior High.
Wow.
Do you reckon she'll ever do that? Cash in and...
What? Write the next...
Write more.
I don't know. I think she's kind of said no. She's done with it.
She'll die and someone else will, I guess.
Maybe.
Yeah. What
is
about
that, yeah,
Harper Lee to Kill a Mockingbird?
Yeah.
Someone sort of probably, possibly forced her to publish something just before she died.
Yeah, that's fine. Something apparently a lot less good.
Yeah.
I started to read it, got mad at something that happened in the plot and stopped reading. I was on a plane sitting next to David Quirk and I read something that I didn't want to read and I went, oh! And he went, what's wrong? I said, nothing. And I closed it. It was on my iPad. I closed it. I just sat there grumpy.
You closed your iPad.
I closed my iPad.
Wow.
I folded it in half. I broke my iPad.
That's why David Quirk, great comedian, was asking you what was wrong.
Yeah, because I snapped an iPad.
Nothing, David.
Leave me alone. Anyway.
So 10 years has been since the last one. Wow. Amazing.
Harry Potter is now a global brand worth an estimated $15 billion. And the last four Harry Potter books have consecutively set records as the fastest selling books in history. The series, totaling 4,195 pages, has been translated in whole or in part into 65 languages. My uncle has a copy of the first one in Latin.
Did your uncle speak or read Latin?
He was studying Latin at the time.
Wow. Mm-hmm. And did he get anywhere with the studies? Do you reckon he could have a crack at reading and understanding it?
Well, the problem... Yes. I'm just going to say yes.
Incredible. I'm so impressed.
Yeah. And you're right to be. In October of 1998, Warner Brothers purchased the film's rights to the first two novels for a seven-figure sum. So...
That's in the million. Million plus.
So the movies were pretty... I've got like a list here of sort of when they came out. And they were fairly consecutive. So like... 2001, the first one, and 2002, the second one, both directed by Chris Columbus. Then there's a couple of years, 2004 for the next one, and that was directed by Alfonso Cuarón.
Great Cuarón. Name. Don't know him. Don't know anyone.
The next year in 2005 for the fourth book, that was by Mike Newell. And then the last four movies were all directed by David Yates, and they came out in 2007, 2009, 2010, 2011. So they were sort of like
Yatesy.
Fairly close and just like banged them out. But that's 10 years that all of the cast and everything were working together.
Wow. Yeah, right.
Really consistently. So those kids literally grew up together. That's crazy.
It is. 10 years. Wow.
That's such a long time. I guess I never really thought about it quite like that. And I don't think there would have been that much of a break between filming. You know, you'd sort of have a bit of a few months off and then you'd be back to it. You know?
A weird way to grow up.
Yeah.
They seem to have all...
Yeah, but none of them seem crazy, do they?
No.
They don't seem weird. Like most, a lot of child actors turn out to be.
I think one of them did turn out to be hot. Harold Hogbottom.
Ron Weasley. Neville Longbottom is who you're talking about?
Yes, he did have to...
He
had to pretend to be ugly.
Oh my God, he's a babe.
Not that there's anything wrong with being ugly. I'm certainly one of those people.
Hey.
Oh no, and I'm not.
Hey.
I'm just saying I'm allowed to.
If you want me to tell you you're good looking, I will. I will look you in the eye and I will lie to make you feel good.
I don't want that. I don't want to feel good.
He's fishing. He wants us to tell him he's beautiful.
Well, you've got me hook, line, and sinker. You are a beautiful man.
You are the most beautiful man in that corner of the room.
Oh, Jess.
Good.
Very,
very good.
Very well stepped around there.
Thank you.
I wouldn't want to lie to him and say he's the best looking man in the room. That's for sure. That's for sure.
I just like having a win by default. Like, I'm the best looking woman in the room at the moment.
Can't argue with that.
Cannot argue.
You can't. So that's
won't
fine.
Argue with that.
Thank you.
I choose not to argue with
very
that.
Very good. So Warner Brothers took considerable notice of Rowling's desires and thoughts when drafting her contract. One of her principal stipulations was that the films be shot in Britain with an all-British cast, which has been generally adhered to. There's a few sneaky Americans in there.
Who? Get them out.
I don't know. I'm trying to think of the cast, and I think they are mostly British. Are there? Who else is there?
There's an American owl playing Hagrid.
Yeah, that was it. Yep. An American owl played the giant. So, yeah, you're right. She also demanded that Coca-Cola, who was there was a big race to tie their products to the film series. So there's all these different big brands who like wanted to be, I suppose, sponsors. And
yeah, the official soft drink of Harry Potter.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So drink what Harry drinks. Coca-Cola.
Coca-Cola won that, but she insisted that they donate $18 million to the American charity Reading is Fundamental, as well as several community charity programs. So she's like, yep, you can be part of Harry Potter, I suppose, but you have to make this huge donation.
Wow, it's commendable.
Which is pretty cool. The first four films, as well as the 6th, 7th, and 8th, so only the fifth one was missed out, was scripted by Steve Cloves. Rowling assisted him.
Clovesy.
She assisted him with the writing process, ensuring that all of his scripts didn't contradict future books in the series. So he's kind of writing for what has already been published, right. But she's making sure they don't allude to anything.
Right, so she had to keep whispering, just don't kill Harry. He was like, oh.
Cool.
Get the rubber out for the razor out for that one.
That was going to be the big finish.
Yeah, kill him at the end of the fifth movie. One.
Rowling actually told Alan Rickman, who played Severus Snape, and Robbie Coltrane, who played Hagrid.
Not the owl, the other Hagrid.
Certain secrets about...
It's confusing, isn't it?
She actually told them certain secrets about their characters before they were revealed in the books, so they could sort of have an idea of what they were playing, so that's kind of cool.
What kind of secrets is she telling them?
Snape. You know the big Snape twist? She told him that ahead of time. I remember hearing that.
Mm.
Maybe in the research for my Snape episode.
Oh, yeah, of course, yeah.
So we have a whole episode devoted to the life and times of Alan Rickman.
Mm. Alan Rickman.
Oh, no.
Lost it?
Potter. No, no.
Not bad.
Potter.
Ooh, there it is.
Potter. No.
Mr. Potter. It's not terrible. It's pretty good. Fuck, it's
Stop
hot.
Stop it.
Daniel Radcliffe, who played Harry Potter, asked her if Harry died at any point in the series. Rowling answered him by saying, you have a death scene, thereby not explicitly answering the question. Because Harry does kind of die.
His follow-up question, does Harry Potter have sex at all during these books? You have a sex scene.
Oh.
You're in the bed, neck one over in the dorm. It's brutal.
Yeah, it is super awkward.
He's lying there while Ron's getting it on. It's like fingers in his ears. Oh, no.
La 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 la. When will it stop? Apparently, director Steven Spielberg was approached to direct the first film, but he dropped out. The press had repeatedly claimed that Rowling played a role in his departure, but she stated that she had no say in who directed the films and would not have vetoed Spielberg.
Because he would have done a fucking great job. Because
he's Steven fucking Spielberg. Yeah. Steven?
Like he always
Steven
does.
Spielberg.
He's Steven
fucking Spielberg.
Did they fire him because he was rocked up drunk to the set?
Yeah.
I'm Steven
fucking Spielberg. Hello, I'm Steven fucking Spielberg. Do you think he looks himself in the mirror in the morning and goes, you're Steven fucking Spielberg?
It would be a shock when you wake up, I reckon.
Can you imagine being introduced to him and somebody's like, this is my friend Steve? Hey, it'd just Steve-o. Be Steve.
Spielsy.
Rowling's first choice for the director had been Monty Python member Terry Gilliam, but Warner Brothers wanted a family-friendly film and they chose Chris Columbus.
Like he's going to just add like a flying dick or something in the background as a cartoon.
Rowling had gained some creative control of the films, reviewing all the scripts as well as acting as a producer on the final two-part installment, Deathly Hallows. Now just a little bit to follow up on her post-Potter life, if I may.
Yes, what is she doing? Is she just pottering about?
Oh, David, stop it. Regret it. Regret that, you son of a bitch.
It's too hot.
It's too hot to regret. God, what a carefree world we live in now.
It's great being hot. Like, you just have no standards.
I don't give a shit.
Don't edit this, Jess. Leave it all in. It's all gold. Hot, hot gold.
Melted gold. In 2004, Forbes named Rowling as the first person to become a US dollar billionaire by writing books, the second richest female entertainer, and the 1,062nd richest person in
Oprah
the world. Oprah number one is what you're saying. Am I correct?
Yeah. Forgot to put a question mark at the end.
But also, it was just running into one word. Oprah number one. Like, what's that, Maddie? You hot?
Yeah.
You'd be hot?
A little bit.
I know.
Just cool him down with some cream.
She actually disputed the calculation and said she had plenty of money but was not a billionaire. I love her.
Yet.
The 2016 Sunday Times Richlist estimated Rowling's fortune at $600 million, ranking her as the joint 197th richest person in the UK. But back in 2012, Forbes removed Rowling from the rich list, claiming that her $160 million in charitable donations and the high tax rate in the UK meant she was no longer a billionaire.
That is so embarrassing.
That's right. She gave away too much money to charity so that she was no longer a billionaire.
And Forbes criticised her for it.
What a so dumb bitch. You idiot.
Criticise her or just took her off the list
they wouldn't have
for accuracy?
Giving away millions of dollars.
Look at this idiot. She was a billionaire, but she's not anymore because she helped people that aren't billionaires.
I bet all the people around the Forbes office would have been...
All the billionaires around Forbes office.
Yeah.
Making hundreds of millions of dollars a year.
Yeah, oh yeah. You don't... There's millions and billions in magazines, as we all know.
They're taking off.
On December 26, 2001, Boxing Day... She married Neil Murray, who's a Scottish doctor.
Mother.
In a private ceremony at her home. They had two more children, David Gordon Rowling Murray and Mackenzie Jean Rowling Murray. In 2012, it was announced that Rowling was set to publish a new book targeted at adults. In a press release, Rowling said that her new book would be quite different from Harry Potter. So that was in the February. In April, Little Brown and Company announced that the book was titled The Casual Vacancy and would be released in September of that year. In its first 3 weeks of release, The Casual Vacancy sold over 1 million copies worldwide.
I've never heard of it.
Oh, you haven't seen that one?
No.
Hmm.
Is that a movie as well?
No.
Oh, sorry. You haven't seen the cover.
I think they've made a series out of it, though.
Publicised.
Or making? Made. I
think. Yeah, right.
But yeah, it was quite a big deal because it was J.K. Rowling again. People,
was it meant to
I haven't
be good?
Read it. I haven't read it, but I think I've heard good things.
Yeah,
I think I have.
My mum said it was good.
Oh, there you go, Dave's mum.
Dave,
there you
go.
She's a librarian, children's librarian, so she loves Harry Potter.
Could you retitle it, please, Dave?
The Casual Vacancy. The Do Not Bother Reading This If You're Expecting Harry Potter.
In 2007, during the Edinburgh Book Festival, author Ian Rankin claimed that his wife spotted Rowling scribbling away at a detective novel in a cafe. He later retracted the story, claiming he was joking, but the rumour really persisted, with a report in 2012 in The Guardian speculating that Rowling's next book would be a crime novel.
How can you tell a genre from the way someone's
scribbling? Exactly. He's like, I'm kidding. Relax. Like, in April of 2013, unrelated, Little Brown published The Cuckoo's Calling, the debut novel of an author called Robert Galbraith, whom the publisher described as a former plainclothes Royal Military Police investigator who had left in 2003 to work in the civilian security industry. The novel, a detective story in which a private investigator unravels the supposed suicide of a supermodel, sold 1,500 copies in hardback, which later reports actually stated that this number is the number of copies that were printed in the first run, while the sales was actually about 500. So it only sold about 500 copies. And received acclaim from other crime writers and critics. A publisher weekly review called the book a stellar debut, while the Library Journal's mystery section pronounced the novel the debut of the month. So they're like, this new writer is great. What a fantastic debut.
But didn't convert into sales.
And how many Nestle or Smarties awards?
That's a good point. Not that many. Because
adult
Smarties
awards.
It's a children.
Yeah.
India Knight, who was a novelist and columnist for the Sunday Times, tweeted on the 9th of July 2013 that she'd been reading The Cuckoo's Calling and thought it was good for a debut novel. In response, a tweeter called Jude Caligari said that the author was rolling. Knight queried this, but got no further reply. So then she gets Richard Brooks, who's arts editor of the Sunday Times, who begins his own investigation. After discovering that Rowling and Galbraith had the same agent and editor, he sent the books for linguistics analysis, which found similarities, and subsequently contacted Rowling's agent, who confirmed it was Rowling's pseudonym.
Ah. So if you're going to have the whole story, then why end up just admitting it straight away?
Yeah, I know. But well, within days of it being revealed that she was the author, sales of the book rose by 4,000%.
Okay, I think that's possibly part of the reason.
Yeah, they went, all right, we have lost a lot of money on this book, JK. Possibly you could admit that it's you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She wanted to see, well, and maybe she wanted to find out what people thought.
Yeah, that's right. I think that could be a big part of it, because you get an honest review.
Yeah.
People saying, this is great. This is a great crime book.
Exactly.
That's what you want, right?
And that's what happened. And they had to print another 140,000 copies to meet the demand. And
bullshit. I reckon she had them in the back shed and she was looking at them going, this is too many.
She said she really enjoyed working under a pseudonym on the website for Robert Galbraith. She explained that she took the name from one of her personal heroes, Robert Kennedy, and a childhood fantasy name she'd invented for herself, Ella Galbraith. Galbraith. Soon after the revelation, Brooks pondered whether Jude Caligari could have been rolling as part of a wider speculation that the entire affair had been a publicity stunt. Some also noted that many of the writers who had initially praised the book were within her circle of acquaintances.
Oh.
But all of those people said, we didn't know.
Right.
That's
interesting. It's funny that they're saying that the tweet came from JK. It's like, why not from someone else at publishing house?
Publisher, yeah. Her agent.
Like literally anyone.
Yeah.
Anyone that has a stake in the book.
Yeah.
As it turns out, Judith, or Jude, Caligari, was the best friend of the wife of Chris Gossage, who was a partner within Russell's solicitors, who was Rowling's legal representative. So somebody went home to his wife, said, oh, she's a new book. And then she told her best friend, who then fucking tweeted it. But don't tell Jude anything.
But do you think JK was, so she wasn't in on it?
No, she wasn't in on it.
Loose lips Jude.
She was mad at her legal representative, and they had to apologise and make like a donation to a charity.
To Coca-Cola.
All evens up.
So a few other things that she's done. She was a single parent for a long time to her daughter Jessica, and she's now president of the charity Gingerbread, which is originally one-parent families. Having become their first ambassador in 2000, she's now the president. In 2005, Rowling and MEP Emma Nicholson founded the Children's High Level Group, which is now called Lumos. To further support the group, Rowling auctioned one of 7 handwritten and illustrated copies of the tales of Beedle and the Bard, a series of fairy tales referred to in Harry Potter and the Deathly Hallows. The book was purchased for £1.95 million by an online bookseller.
What the hell?
It was bought by Amazon, becoming the most expensive modern book ever sold at auction.
That's fantastic.
That's ridiculous.
Great for charity, but that's an extreme
amount
of money.
Basically a donation. And a bit of publicity for Amazon, I guess.
Yeah. Here's one thing I like as well. Rowling has contributed money and support for research and treatment of multiple sclerosis because her mother obviously suffered for a long time before her death.
The big MS thing over here is the readathon, probably internationally.
Yeah.
So they, when I was a kid, MS readathons were big time.
And in 2006, she contributed a substantial sum towards the creation of the new Centre for Regenerative Medicine at Edinburgh University, which was later named the Anne Rowling Regenerative Neurology Clinic after her mum. Which is really nice. And to finish up, I have a couple of fun facts.
Just, before you finish this, the only other books that I knew, I didn't know about all these other ones, which I found really cool. But what did I not? Do I not remember recently there was something about a suitcase of unknown creatures or something?
Fantastic Beasts and Where to Find Them.
Yes. Is that her? No.
Literally about to talk about it.
Sick, right?
Yeah. So in September of 2013, Warner Brothers announced an expanded creative partnership with Rowling based on a planned series of films for Fantastic Beasts and Where to Find Them. So the first film, which was scripted by Rowling, was released in November of 2016, so last year, and set roughly 70 years before the event of the main Harry Potter series. And there's going to be another, like, the series is going to consist of 5 films. There's another 4 films. One's coming out next year.
How did it go?
I think pretty well. I haven't seen it, but I think it did well.
Yeah, it just seemed like it wasn't a phenomena.
Yeah, I think the Harry Potter hype has sort of calmed down a bit by now.
Right.
Oh, people still line up to when she released the play, the text.
Yeah, it's true.
People lined up to buy it.
The Cursed Child. Is that the one? Yeah. Although she writes under the pen name J.K. Rowling, her name before her remarriage was just Joanne Rowling. She doesn't have a middle name. But anticipating that the target audience of young boys might not want to read a book written by a woman, her publishers asked her that she use 2 initials rather than her full name. And she had no middle name, so she chose K for Kathleen from her grandmother. So, yeah, that's my report on J.K. Rowling.
Great stuff, Jessica Perkins.
Thank you, David Warnicki. Great stuff.
I've just looked up Fantastic Beasts and Where to Find Them. It grossed $800 million, so it did
quite well. Oh, that did very well, yeah.
That's cute, isn't it?
That is a cute amount, but that would be nothing on the others, but still very good.
Nothing on us. We're making easily that.
Per episode, $800 million. If you would like to contribute to our $800 million fund, head over to patreon.com/dogoon. And we would now like to thank everyone that supports the show through Patreon, because it actually keeps this little pod ticking along. And we'd like to specifically thank some people by name that contribute to our Patreon. Matt, would you like to thank a couple of people before we wrap this up?
I would. I'd love to thank everyone, to be honest. But if you want me to drill down even more specifically than that, I'd love to thank everyone who listens.
And Dave's going to give them a Harry Potter title for Americans.
Oh, great.
Okay.
Perfect. All right. That's awesome. I think this, from memory, this is the first Lebanon listener Patreon that I've thanked. Rani Tabri.
In Lebanon.
Lebanon.
Isn't that cool?
So Rani cool. Tabri and...
The Magic Cat.
Wow.
Often confused with the sequel, The Magic Hat.
Rani Tabri and The Magic Hat.
Hat, yeah. So there's The Magic Cat.
Was it just the two hat. Or was there a trilogy there?
There's a planned trilogy.
Okay.
But they haven't got there yet.
Do you know any sort of insight into what the third?
The Very Magic Cat.
I mean, there's options there. There are
Magic Matt.
There's...
No, it goes Rani Tabri.
Magic Splat.
Rani Tabri and the Magic Hat. Rani Tabri.
Rat.
No, Rani Tabri and the Magic
Brat.
Cat. Rani Tabri and the Magic Hat. And then Rani Tabri and the Very Magic Cat. Look, they're not very good at marketing in Lebanon, okay?
But these are for America.
Yeah, well, they're marketing from Lebanon to they think Americans want.
Thanks so much, Rani. That's so a real cool. Thrill for us. That
yeah, it's lovely. Thank you.
Tuning in from Lebanon, that is real bloody cool. I'd also love to thank from Williamsburg, Virginia.
Oh.
Well, Virginia is a place that seems to come into stories on this show relatively frequently. I'd love to thank Tyler Reeves, who's got a real superhero. I can picture him as a quarterback for sure, Tyler Reeves.
Definitely.
He's got a great arm on him, I reckon.
Mm-hmm. Tyler Reeves and the...
Small donut.
I mean, mean, they're not.
I mean, what, so what's this story good. About? They, and it's an, in a magical world?
Yeah, it's a fucking magic donut.
Can I go now?
But the donut's small.
Magic donut.
I mean, the magic in it's big, but physically it's a small donut.
Do you want to go,
I mean,
Dave,
the Philosopher's Stone wasn't huge, was it?
No, you could carry it.
And
you could put it in a small paper bag, like a donut.
We don't know that the Philosopher's Stone wasn't a donut. Yeah.
It goes well with coffee, like a donut. 2-for-1 special.
Matt's laughing. We've definitely lost our minds. Can I go? Can I go?
That's not a good sign of Matt laughs. But thank you so much to Tyler in Virginia.
Tyler and Rani.
Let me go.
Oh, you can go, but there's no way you're going to do better than Tyler and Rani.
I would like to thank, from Castle Hill in New South Wales, Ben Campbell.
Ah.
Ben Campbell and the...
Captain's Chair.
That's pretty good.
That's pretty good.
I mean, he lives in Castle Hill, and you found no inspiration there.
Captain of the castle.
Yeah.
Every castle needs a captain.
Every castle needs a captain.
And every castle needs a chair.
Yeah. What else are you going to do? Stand all the time?
Look, I feel quite foolish.
Good. I hope you've learnt your bloody lesson.
I would read that book.
Thank you very much to Ben. And
so he's in Castle Hill, New South Wales.
Castle Hill, New South Wales.
Really cool.
And I would also like to thank from Yinnah in Victoria.
Do you know where Yinnah is, mate? You've been a lot of country stuff.
I'm not familiar with Yinnah.
I'm not familiar either, but that does not stop me from thanking our good friend, Matt Dennis.
Matty D.
Good on you, Matt. And the...
Matt Dennis and the...
Butterfly kisses.
Oh, that's fucking cute.
Is that the eyelash thing?
Yeah.
When you kiss someone with your eyelashes.
I love a butterfly kiss.
Give me one. I'm too sweaty. Don't come this close,
now.
Please.
I stink.
Please don't come near me. Well, I'd like to thank... All right, how about you guys get one each year?
Okay.
Jess, you can do this first one. This person's also from Richmond in Virginia.
Ooh.
There's Richmonds around the world, but that's amazing. Virginia is a real hotspot for us. We might have to do a live show in Virginia.
So Tyler was from Williamsburg, Virginia, and I looked it up. Richmond, Virginia is only 50 miles away.
They could be friends.
Isn't that cool?
They should be pen pals.
Cara Michael. Cara Michael from Richmond, Virginia. Thank you so much. Cara Michael and the...
Wooden... Clock.
Ooh, sounds magical.
That does sound magical. I've got questions.
Is it all wooden? Like, are the mechanical parts wooden?
Yeah, it's all wooden.
That sounds great. I'd read that book, too. I just looked up, you know, it's in Gippsland. It's near Morwell, Traralgon, Moe, the Hazelwood Power Plant, that kind of area.
Awesome.
I once went to the Hazelwood Power Plant on its open day, got a little show bag. It included a piece of coal.
Are you kidding? No.
I got the photos there, wearing a hard hat as a little kid.
Thank God we don't have any radio, like nuclear power plants.
This is an open air. We went as a family.
Why?
We went as a family. We were obviously not very wealthy. I know the affluent East doesn't do stuff like that.
My parents took me to Disneyland.
Yeah, exactly.
You guys went to Disneyland.
I went to Gippsland to go to a coal factory.
And you got a piece of coal. There you go, sport. Have fun with it, your new toy. Mum, am I going to get a Christmas present? No, that's it. That's it, man.
That is your Christmas present. And who else we got?
Finally, from Adelaide, a place that Matt is going to be hitting up early next year for the Fringe Festival.
Yes.
I would like to thank Cass Edwards. Thank you, Cass. Cass Edwards, Matt, this is you.
Cass Edwards
and the Frog of Fire.
The Frog of Fire.
Man, that was pretty close to a real Harry Potter.
To be honest, I don't think they'll get it. I don't think they'll get it.
All right, how would you
Is a frog on
translate
fire?
That? Of fire. No, it's from fire.
Oh. I'd call it
was forged.
Then it should be Frog from Fire. Then,
it was forged in the depths of hell.
Cass Edwards and
it's
the...
It's an evil frog.
Cass Edwards and the Hot Toad.
The Hot Toddy.
The Hottie Toddy. That's it. We've just sold 1 million copies in America, guys.
Bloody
hell.
Well
done. 24 hours. Good. Thank you so much, Cass Edwards.
I hope someone draws all those covers up. Dave, I hope that person is you.
If someone did all the Harry Potter covers with the new titles, that would be pretty cool. Putting it out there.
We're making requests now for fan art that we want.
Yeah. If you could also draw me as a bodybuilder.
Yeah.
But only send it to me. That'd be great.
That's just for Tinder profile.
Tinder profile and a bit of self-confidence all wrapped in one. So, thank you.
It's so hot.
It is so hot, guys. If you'd like to contribute to our Patreon, how about we make a Patreon goal where we buy a fucking air conditioner?
Oh, that'd be nice.
And stop complaining.
That would be so good.
That'd be great. But thanks again for listening. And, of course, to the man, Rowan Epstein, one of our faithful Patreon people, for suggesting Harry Potter. If you want to suggest a topic, just like he did, do go on pod at gmail.com. Always open. And do go on pod, or at do go on pod, at do go on pod, I should say, for Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter.
We're all, yeah, follow us on those. We try to post stuff on there regularly. I think we're going to try and streamline the hat, so it's just going to be like a form online somewhere, but we'll post that somewhere soon and probably update you on that maybe next week.
Yeah, that's coming soon. It's going to be good for everyone.
Especially me, who I'm sure I miss people's suggestions, which makes me feel incomplete.
Good.
We'll never recover.
The pod's ruined. Get right, out.
Well, we've got to go chastise Matt a bit more about this. But until next week, thanks for listening, and I will say goodbye.
Later.
Bye.
This podcast is part of the Planet Broadcasting Network.
Visit planetbcasting.com for more podcasts from our great mates. I mean, if you want. It's up to you.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.